The convenience store by the sea captivated Japanese readers with its warm, whimsical tale of human connection in an unlikely setting. When it debuted in 2021, this charming novel quickly became a cultural phenomenon, with readers flocking to real-life convenience stores in coastal regions hoping to find their own version of the charismatic manager Shiba. Author Sunoko Machida's delicate balance of everyday magic and profound human insight earned her comparisons to Haruki Murakami for her ability to find the extraordinary within ordinary spaces. The novel's success spawned a popular manga adaptation and a television drama series that broke viewership records in its time slot. What makes this book particularly special is how it transformed the public perception of convenience stores in Japan from mere retail outlets to potential sanctuaries of human connection, places where lives might intersect in meaningful ways. Even celebrities like actress Yui Aragaki have cited it as a favorite, praising its ability to find beauty in the mundane aspects of daily life. I recoiled as screams washed over me like I was at a pop concert. My plastic bottle slipped from my grasp as women dressed to kill fluttered around what was supposed to be a plain convenience store. This unexpected scene marked the beginning of my strange relationship with the Tenderness convenience store in Mojiko. It had started innocently enough with a drive in my secondhand car, PPN. After receiving a mocking text from a friend while heading toward Hakata, I impulsively changed course to Mojiko instead. The charming retro district captivated me, but nothing prepared me for what awaited inside that seemingly ordinary convenience store. Women crowded around an impossibly attractive male clerk named Mr. Shiba, competing for his attention while the ordinary clerk Hiros rang up my purchase. The contrast between the two employees couldn't have been more striking, one causing hysteria with his mere presence, the other practically invisible despite standing just feet away. The spectacle ended abruptly when a muscular old man in red overalls chased the women out, bellowing like a demon. As I fled the scene, I realized something unsettling. I was already planning my return. "Please come again," Mr. Shiba had said with that enigmatic smile, and despite the chaos, I felt an inexplicable pull to return. What was it about this place and this man that created such devotion? The sea of love washing over that convenience store seemed to have caught me in its current as well. The Tenderness store wasn't just a retail space, but a magnetic center drawing people from all walks of life. Its location by the sea created a liminal space, neither fully part of the bustling world nor completely separate from it. Like the tide itself, people flowed in and out, each carrying their own stories, needs, and longings. And at the center of this human ecosystem stood the mysterious Shiba, whose genuine care for each customer transcended mere customer service. What makes certain places special isn't their architecture or merchandise, but the connections formed within their walls. This convenience store, with its fluorescent lights and refrigerated displays, had somehow become a sanctuary where lonely hearts found comfort, broken spirits found healing, and ordinary moments transformed into something extraordinary. Behind the polished facade of the Tenderness convenience store lay a more complex reality. Manager Shiba and his colleague Mitsuri were exhausted from working without days off since their co-worker Nomiya left. Their staffing situation had grown desperate after a disastrous experience hiring a middle-aged retiree whose wife fell for Shiba and became his stalker, just one example of the complications his unusual charisma created. The arrival of a mud-covered man named Tsugi revealed a carefully guarded secret. He was actually Shiba's older brother Nihiko. The five Shiba siblings, Ichihiko, Nihiko, Mitsuhiko, Yohiko, and their sister Jewel, all used shortened versions of their names, Ichi, Tsugi, Mitsu, Yan. The brothers kept their relationship hidden because of the trouble it caused them both, suggesting a history of complications stemming from their unusual appeal. As they shared Ohaji rice dumplings made by their 17-year-old sister, Shiba revealed his genuine love for his work. He recalled how their former colleague Nomiya had found meaning at the convenience store. Everyone who comes to our store lives every day of their lives to the fullest. This philosophy had become Shiba's guiding principle, inspired by a girl whose words had sparked his dedication to helping people, even in seemingly insignificant ways. In that moment, Mitsuri glimpsed Shiba's authentic self, like a drop of dew hidden in a beautiful rose, and understood why people were drawn to him. It wasn't just his appearance, but something deeper, a genuine desire to make each person's day better through small, thoughtful interactions. Though Mitsuri maintained a joking tone about their staffing crisis, she recognized she'd never be particularly close to him. The Shiba brothers existed in their own orbit, bringing both mystery and drama to everyone they encountered. Haven't we all met someone who seems to exist on a different plane? Someone whose genuine interest in others creates a magnetic field around them. Shiba's gift wasn't just his appearance, but his ability to see each customer as a unique individual with specific needs he could fulfill, if only through a perfectly prepared cup of coffee or a kind word at exactly the right moment. His presence transformed a utilitarian retail space into something approaching sacred, a place where people felt truly seen. For Juku teacher Yoshiro Kiriyama, the Tenderness convenience store represented more than just a place to buy egg sandwiches and coffee. It was a reliable constant in his increasingly monotonous life. When clerk Nakao handed him a flyer announcing new coffee machines, Yoshiro's carefully maintained composure cracked. Learning that Sachika Coffee, a prestigious hidden gem in Hakata known for its master's carefully crafted dark roast blend, would be supervising the operation seemed impossible. How could a convenience store secure such a partnership? Yoshiro's embarrassing outburst revealed his emotional investment in this small daily ritual. After toasting his sandwich in the dining area, he reflected on how he'd discovered this branch's superior coffee, learning that Shiba personally picked over the coffee beans each night to improve the flavor. This extraordinary attention to detail explained the unexpectedly excellent quality, but it also highlighted something more profound, the transformative power of caring deeply about seemingly insignificant things. The store's mysterious benefactor, Counselor Niseko, intrigued Yoshiro. This unknown customer's suggestions had transformed the entire Tenderness chain, including adding baby food and special meals for children and the elderly. Yoshiro fantasized about meeting this Niseko, someone who could perhaps see him accurately and advise him on improving his life, though he recognized this might be wishful thinking. While eating his sandwich, Yoshiro confronted his stagnation. Despite talk of extreme weather, nothing seemed different from the previous year, including himself. Would he be sitting in the same spot a year from now, still living the same monotonous life? His artistic dreams of becoming a manga illustrator had withered under repeated rejection, leaving him trapped in a teaching job his heart wasn't in. Standing at Mojiko Station, which marked both the beginning and end of the train line, he felt it symbolized his own life, not stretching forward with endless possibilities, but gasping its dying breath, doomed to repetition. The lights of Shimonoseki across the channel seemed to represent everything beyond his reach. When Shiba later mentioned admiring Yoshiro's drawings, having secretly watched him work, it triggered an explosive emotional reaction. Yoshiro screamed at Shiba to shut up, insisting he was trying hard despite his struggles. The unexpected acknowledgement of his secret passion was too much to bear, both painful and precious in equal measure. Isn't it striking how our smallest rituals can become anchors in a drifting life? For Yoshiro, that daily coffee represented not just caffeine, but continuity, proof that some things could be relied upon even as dreams faded. When we feel stuck in life's waiting room, these tiny pleasures become disproportionately important, carrying the weight of meaning we can't find elsewhere. When Shiba later mentioned admiring Yoshiro's drawings, having secretly watched him work, it triggered an explosive emotional reaction. Yoshiro screamed at Shiba to shut up, insisting he was trying hard despite his struggles. The unexpected acknowledgement of his secret passion was too much to bear, both painful and precious in equal measure. Isn't it striking how our smallest rituals can become anchors in a drifting life? For Yoshiro, that daily coffee represented not just caffeine, but continuity, proof that some things could be relied upon even as dreams faded. When we feel stuck in life's waiting room, these tiny pleasures become disproportionately important, carrying the weight of meaning we can't find elsewhere.
After fleeing Mojiko and returning to his parents' home, Yoshiro found life there boring and restrictive. His parents nagged him about finding work, and he missed the conveniences of Mojiko, especially the Tenderness coffee shop. The appearance of Tsugishiba's bearded brother surprised him. Tsugi had been searching for Yoshiro at his brother's request, as Shiba was worried after Yoshiro's sudden disappearance. Despite Yoshiro's reluctance, Tsugi convinced him to return to Mojiko. During their drive, Tsugi examined Yoshiro's sketchbook and genuinely praised his drawings, challenging Yoshiro's belief that he lacked talent. When Yoshiro showed him a drawing of Miyamoto Musashi and Sasaki Kojiro, Tsugi became particularly excited, sharing how his father used to dramatically retell their famous duel. This authentic appreciation from someone who understood the emotional core of his work pierced Yoshiro's protective shell of cynicism. Tsugi suggested Yoshiro could use his talent for kamishibai, puppet shows, or something similar that children would love, offering a practical application for his skills that Yoshiro had never considered. Upon arriving at Tenderness, Shiba warmly welcomed him and apologized for their previous argument. Yoshiro tried the new Sachika coffee, surprised by its single-origin flavor that differed from the traditional dark roast while still maintaining its essential quality. He learned that the elderly master at Sachika Coffee had embraced this new challenge despite his age and health concerns. The coffee master's willingness to evolve, rather than cling rigidly to tradition, offered Yoshiro a powerful metaphor for his own situation. Inspired by this example and encouraged by the brother's genuine appreciation of his artwork, Yoshiro began to see possibilities where before he'd seen only dead ends. Perhaps his artistic journey wasn't over. It simply needed to take a different form than he'd originally imagined. How often do we abandon our passions because they don't manifest exactly as we'd planned? Yoshiro's story reminds us that sometimes our dreams don't die, they just need reimagining. The brother's sincere interest in his work provided something his talent had been missing, an audience who understood what he was trying to express. Sometimes all our dormant passions need is someone who can see their value when we've lost sight of it ourselves. For middle school student Azusa, Tuesday afternoons at the Tenderness convenience store represented freedom and friendship. These weekly dessert meetings with her friend Nayuta had become sacred, a ritual that sustained both girls through difficult times. When Nayuta suddenly transferred schools without explanation, Azusa continued visiting the store alone, maintaining their tradition even in her friend's absence. After learning about Nayuta's transfer, Azusa confronted her former friends at school. When Kanako accused her of hiding Nayuta's situation, Azusa stood up to Mizuki, thanking her for their friendship but asserting that what Mizuki did was wrong. Despite being slapped again, Azusa maintained her composure and walked away, shaking with fear but determined to endure like Nayuta had. The confrontation marked a turning point in Azusa's life. She decided to apply to a prestigious preparatory academy rather than following Mizuki to the girls' school their mothers had planned. Though isolated at school, some classmates began speaking to her, recognizing her newfound strength. During one of her solo Tuesday visits to Tenderness, Azusa received a surprise when Tsugi arrived with Nayuta, who had traveled from Nagasaki specifically to see her. The girls embraced tearfully, with Nayuta expressing gratitude for their dessert meetings that had helped her through difficult times. Nayuta revealed that she visited Tenderness stores whenever she felt lonely, feeling connected to Azusa through their shared ritual. This reunion reinforced Azusa's determination to develop desserts for Tenderness someday, creating sweets that will give strength to someone who's struggling. They promised to stay connected through tenderness stores, with Nayuta inviting Azusa to visit her in Nagasaki. The girl's story illustrates how shared rituals can transcend physical separation. Their Tuesday parfaits weren't just desserts, but tangible expressions of their friendship, something that could be replicated even when they were apart. By continuing to visit tenderness alone, Azusa wasn't just remembering their friendship, but actively maintaining it across distance. Isn't it remarkable how ordinary places can become sacred through the memories we create there? For these girls, a convenience store counter transformed into an altar of friendship, a place where they could find strength in both presence and absence. Their story reminds us that connections don't always require physical proximity. Sometimes they live in the rituals we share, the traditions we maintain, and the spaces we collectively imbue with meaning. Retirement had left Takeiji Otsuka adrift and irritable. Despite having worked diligently for decades to provide for his family and choosing Kitakyushu as their ideal retirement location, he struggled with his wife Junko's newfound independence. His daughter Nano's warning about gray divorce haunted him as he watched Junko develop interests separate from his own. Seeking escape from his loneliness, Takeiji visited the Tenderness convenience store, a place he normally avoided, considering such establishments overpriced and filled with additives. There he encountered Hikaru, a young boy eating convenience store food alone. When Hikaru's friends teased him about his divorced parents and absent father who would miss the upcoming school field day, Takeiji impulsively intervened, offering to attend as Hikaru's grandfather. This spontaneous connection gave Takeiji something he desperately needed, purpose. He took Hikaru to the park to practice for the three-legged race, learning that the boy often ate alone because his father worked long hours at a nursing home. Though Takeiji initially judged the father's absence harshly, he gained perspective when Hikaru explained his father's demanding work caring for numerous elderly patients. When Junko fell ill with a fever, Takeiji found himself panicking, unsure how to care for her. Hikaru guided him through selecting fever-reducing supplies and suitable food at the convenience store, revealing his own surprising medical knowledge. Through this crisis, Takeiji discovered both the practical value of convenience stores and a deeper appreciation for his marriage. As he diligently cared for Junko through the night, replacing ice packs and keeping her comfortable, they shared a meaningful conversation about mortality. Junko confessed she had created a bucket list after their friend Nami died with unfulfilled dreams, but now realized she should have made it together with Takeiji instead of pursuing her own interests separately. They acknowledged how they'd shaped each other over decades of marriage and agreed to create a new bucket list together. On the day of Hikaru's field day, Takeiji and Junko attended together, despite learning that Hikaru's father Akihiro had managed to get the day off work. When they arrived, Hikaru greeted them enthusiastically as Grandpa and Grandma, bringing joy to everyone. As Takeiji raised his fist in solidarity with Hikaru under the clear blue sky, he realized this was the beginning of his second life. Takeiji's story beautifully illustrates how purpose often finds us when we're not looking for it. His chance encounter with Hikaru provided exactly what his retirement lacked. Someone who needed him specifically. Through this relationship, he not only found meaning outside his marriage, but also gained perspective that helped him reconnect with Junko. Don't we all fear becoming irrelevant as we age? Takeiji's experience reminds us that there are always new connections to be made, new skills to learn, and new ways to be needed, if only we remain open to unexpected encounters. His second life didn't require exotic travel or expensive hobbies, just the willingness to step outside his comfort zone and offer kindness to a stranger. For high school student Kosei, love arrived unexpectedly through a shared appreciation for photography. When his crush Misumi praised his classmate Koseki's prize-winning photograph, Fear, Kosei felt both admiration and jealousy. The photograph showed a dying dog with what Misumi interpreted as detached artistic distance, a quality she found fascinating, but Kosei found troubling. A moment of genuine connection occurred when Koseki revealed the true story behind his photograph. Far from being detached, he had taken it when his beloved dog Chico was dying, terrified of losing her and desperate to preserve her memory. Koseki expressed gratitude that Kosei was the only one who understood the photo's true meaning without asking, calling it a great gift. He confessed that after his photo became public and people called him cold-hearted, he questioned himself and ultimately gave up photography, unable to carry his camera anymore. This revelation showed Kosei that despite seeming so mature, Koseki had been suffering in similar ways to himself. The boys acknowledged their friendship's depth, with Koseki admitting he felt comfortable around Kosei. When Koseki apologized about Misumi, Kosei accepted it gracefully, saying he hoped to find someone who appreciates the same things he does for the same reasons, like his parents who look at photo albums together with shared smiles. On Christmas Eve, the boys visited the Tenderness convenience store where Misumi worked. She was inexplicably angry with both of them, breaking Kosei's heart-shaped advent cookie in half. When store manager Tsugi appeared, Misumi immediately brightened and flirtatiously suggested she could be his Christmas date, though he politely declined. As they left the store and snow began to fall, Kosei asked Tsugi about his past loves. Tsugi's suddenly melancholic response, "Not me, not anymore," suggested a painful history. Looking at the night sky, Kosei reflected on how love existed long before him and will continue to exist, hoping that someday he too might find and keep love like his parents have. This moment of perspective helped him see his current heartbreak as part of a larger human experience rather than a uniquely personal tragedy. Isn't first love always characterized by this mixture of intensity and impermanence? Kosei's story captures that bittersweet quality, the pain of unrequited feelings alongside the comfort of knowing others have survived similar experiences. His ability to look beyond his immediate disappointment to imagine future possibilities shows a maturity beyond his years. The broken heart-shaped cookie serves as a perfect symbol for adolescent romance, something sweet that often breaks before it's fully enjoyed. Yet Kosei's observation about the continuity of love across generations offers hope that these early heartbreaks are merely preparation for more lasting connections to come. When Mitsuri Nakao arrived for her morning shift at the Tenderness convenience store, she was overwhelmed by the scent of roses filling the staff room. Two enormous crimson bouquets sat on the table, one with gold lettering on each petal reading, "Mon chéri, my darling." The staff room overflowed with gifts, stuffed animals, gift bags, and ribbon-tied boxes, all for store manager Shiba from his adoring fans. Fellow part-timer Murayoka, who'd never understood Shiba's popularity, was shocked to learn these gifts arrived after Shiba had already made two trips home with previous presents. Mitsuri recalled the chaotic Christmas Eve shift when customers lined up at Shiba's register like fans at a celebrity autograph session, presenting gifts while he humbly accepted them. The store was so busy that shelves emptied at an abnormal pace as customers purchased items just to spend more time with Shiba. Despite Murayoka's suggestion that Shiba could transform the local economy with his popularity, Mitsuri explained that Shiba genuinely loved running the convenience store. He knew all his regular customers by name, took pride in the store's top sales ranking in Fukuoka Prefecture, and found joy in witnessing his customers' life moments, especially when two regulars who met in the store's dining area announced their engagement. Over the years, Mitsuri had spotted Shiba in suspicious one-on-one meetings with various people around town, but he never seemed flustered when she saw him, just flashing an innocent smile. She'd never caught him with the same person twice, leaving her wondering about his personal life. Though she hoped he had someone special, Mitsuri believed if he did, the Golden Villa Ladies Association, Shiba's unofficial fan club of lively older women with connections throughout Mojiko, would certainly know about it. The mystery deepened when Shiba's beautiful sister, Jewel, arrived unexpectedly from Miyazaki. The news of Shiba having a sister created instant chaos in the store, with customers clamoring excitedly around the counter, revealing the depth of their fascination with the mysterious manager's personal life. When Mitsuri visited the Golden Villa Ladies Association meeting room where Jewel was recuperating, she was astonished to find a luxurious space resembling a company president's office, complete with life-sized panel portraits of Shiba displayed prominently throughout, a shrine to their beloved manager. Jewel revealed that Shiba had always attracted devoted followers. Even in high school, he had an organized fan club with strict rules limiting members to 2 letters per month, each marked with their membership number. This history of adoration suggested Shiba's appeal was neither new nor limited to his current role. What makes someone like Shiba so magnetic? Is it merely physical appearance or something deeper? His genuine interest in others, his commitment to excellence, even in small tasks, and his ability to make each person feel uniquely seen all contribute to his appeal. The mystery surrounding his personal life only enhances this fascination. The parts of himself he keeps private create a blank canvas onto which others can project their own desires and interpretations. The special quality of time between night and morning shifts at the convenience store creates a unique atmosphere, a threshold between days when everything feels slightly unreal. During these hours, customers arrive with their soft, undefined faces, either heading to work or home to sleep, each carrying their own story. For the narrator, these liminal moments offer opportunities for genuine human connection. They adjust their service for each person, gentle words for the tired worker buying beer, extra sweetness for the woman with tightly curled hair heading to work. The narrator believes in adding love as the finishing touch to customer service, always offering a genuine smile. Hirose, a university student working part-time, criticizes this approach as excessive, suggesting the narrator's charm might even attract police attention. Despite Hirose's complaints that the store has earned the nickname Convenience Cabaret among his friends, the narrator remains committed to creating a comfortable, personalized experience for every customer. This dedication to service transcends mere transaction. It's about recognizing the humanity in each person who enters the store. The narrator understands that a convenience store isn't just a place to buy necessities, but a waypoint in people's daily journeys. Some customers are ending their day, others beginning. Some celebrating, others mourning. Some fulfilled, others empty. Each deserves acknowledgement of their unique circumstances. In our increasingly automated world, this kind of personalized attention becomes more precious. The narrator's approach transforms routine commercial interactions into moments of genuine human connection, brief encounters that might brighten an otherwise ordinary day. By sending customers off with fond farewells and all their love, the narrator creates ripples of positivity that extend far beyond the store's walls. Isn't there something magical about these in-between spaces and times? Dawn at a convenience store, twilight at a train station, midnight at an airport, places where people pass through rather than remain, moments when one state transitions into another. These liminal spaces often allow for connections and reflections that might not occur in more defined settings. The convenience store by the sea serves as such a threshold, a place where people can briefly step outside their normal lives and connect with others in unexpected ways. The Tenderness Store lives up to its name by offering exactly that, tenderness to everyone who enters. In a world that often feels cold and impersonal, such spaces become sanctuaries where we can momentarily feel seen, understood, and cared for, even by strangers. Perhaps that's the true convenience these stores offer. Not just goods within easy reach, but human connection without the usual barriers.